It's a wonderful Friday morning in September, and yes, it's the 13th. We got to mention that, but it is Friday the 13th, September the 13th, and Southside's Midweek Drive team, and indeed Siren Radio's Midweek Drive team, or duo at present, are on location. And we have got the fabulous Chloe Rose with us. How are you, Chloe?
Hello. Oh, I'm so excited to be here. So far, we're just having a good look around, and I can't wait to tell you all what's happening.
Well, we've teased so far because we haven't actually said where we are, and we're in Harrogate. Clearly, there's only one place to actually be on a Friday morning in Harrogate. It is the Autumn Flower Show 2019, and we're in the Plant Nursery Pavilion. So, Chloe, you have never been to one of these NEHS flower shows before. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, it looks amazing. I mean, there's so much going on at the moment today, so we're going to find out quite a lot of things, you know, from vegetables, giant vegetables, to flowers. And
we're currently standing in
crazy.
Front of what I thought, my word, they've actually shipped in a fully fledged wonderful country house into our Plant Nursery Pavilion Hall here, but it's actually a wonderful sign of describe it basically, Chloe. What can we see?
It's beautiful. It's like a manor house, luxury manor house.
It's Newby Hall.
It's Newby Hall. Obviously, it's on a screen. It's not the real thing. We can't get that here. And then it's recreated the gardens there. There's lots of flowers all the way around. I think there's competition. So children from a nursery, they've recreated trees and different things.
Now, the critical thing, we'll just move along for this, because Camilla Harrison, whom we will be speaking to probably later, if not certainly Nick Smith, we can see this is part of the breaking news that Camilla was very interested in sort of saying, had you heard the news about Newby Hall, etc. But yes, Chloe, this is a historic moment, because this, for the moment, will be the last time the Harrogate Flower Show is actually at the Harrogate Showground, because it's got a new home.
Oh gosh, it has a new home.
A new home, because from 16th to 20th of September 2020, the North of England Horticultural Society will actually be taking place within the aforementioned grounds and gardens of Newby Hall. So intriguing things from that point of view. Lots of things to speak about with, obviously, show director Nick Smith. So in many ways, Chloe, it's even more special for yourself, Chloe, because this won't be here next year.
It won't. It's going to be taken to Newby Hall, which is very exciting.
So we'll do a few sort of individual shots with respect to that. A reminder, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting's Midweek Drive on location with Siren Radio, Chloe Rose and Alex Levchuk, and more good things to come as the day proceeds. Well, clearly, if we were looking at full names, we might have actually said it should be Chloe Chrysanthemum, not necessarily Chloe Rose, but the Chrysanthemum thing gives us away in terms of where we are now. We're delighted to speak to, from Chrysanthemums Direct, the awesome
Martin Flint.
Martin, you have the honour, if honour it is, of actually being our first interviewee this year in terms of the flower shows, at least for the Autumn Flower Show. It's always a significant moment over the past years. Many people have fought for this privilege, but we felt, actually, we'll go straight to Chrysanthemums Direct, because it's just an awesome display you've got here.
Thank you. Yeah, we always enjoy doing the Autumn Show, and of course, autumn is the time for chrysanthemums, so this is the time to see them at their best.
Now, in terms of maintenance, this is something which I've always been intrigued at. How much does it actually take to really get this kind of display up and running?
Well, we grow chrysanthemums commercially for the cut flower market, but the plants will take about 6 months to grow from a cutting through to the cut flower, which we use on the displays. And there's quite a bit of work involved in getting them to look good.
Chloe, thoughts and questions?
Yes, could I say, what's your favourite style of chrysanthemum? I don't know how to say it.
Style is interesting, actually. I think style as opposed to I was going to say breed, and that's a different line entirely from that point of view, so style is probably better.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of different types of chrysanthemums, and we've got several different types on the display here. My favourite are what we specialise in, which is the big incurved blooms, which people think of as being a traditional chrysanthemum. The smaller spray ones are very popular these days, where you get lots of smaller flowers on the stem. And we do a range of different types. People often associate them with sort of supermarket flowers or garage forecourt flowers. But there are a lot of different types and styles, different colours. But yeah, certainly the big blooms are still my favourite.
It looks absolutely beautiful. I quite like the bright yellow ones as well. That stands out for me.
Match our automobile.
Yes.
Different line entirely. Now, we would be remiss if we didn't actually invite you to comment on the breaking news, or relatively breaking news, that Newby Hall is going to be host to the Autumn Flower Show next year, of course. Any thoughts?
It's always, I suppose, we're...
We're just settled here, weren't we? I mean, we're
sort of dinosaurs a little bit. We don't like change and moving on. But new venue, new show in effect. It might reinvigorate the show and get it going. It's always a good show.
Yeah, I was going to say, exactly. I mean, certainly the Autumn and Spring shows we've always found very enjoyable. And we've seen this hall been demolished, built up again, restructured and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think mixed feelings, really.
I think that's right. But we'll just have to, you know, try it and see. And hopefully it'll be good for the society.
It is actually Chloe's first ever NEHS Autumn Flower Show. So really it's a case of enjoy this particular routine because a new location entirely in 2020.
Exactly. I'm definitely learning a lot about different flowers. This is very nice. I was very struck by the look of these as well.
Key line, of course, the final question is, where can people reach Chrysanthemums Direct if they can't get to the flower show? Where's the best place online?
Well, Chrysanthemums Direct kind of does what it says on the tin, so it's
Even spelling it, really, is impressive.
So www.chrysanthemumsdirect.co.uk, order online. We're doing Christmas flowering ones up until the end of September, and then from the 1st of October, our catalogue for 2020 spring orders will go online.
I would say have a splendid show, but I know that's a done deal. You will have a splendid show. It'll be fantastic. Good luck with respect to that. And hopefully catch up in Newby Hall, if not before. Well, we've moved on from our chrysanthemum man to totally trees. And yet, there are only trees that have been made out of paper. I mean, anyways, no. This year, apparently, school children from around the region have actually helped the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show celebrate the loveliest and loftiest of trees in this competition that was actually designed to basically produce their own trees. And again, Chloe, talk to us about what we're looking at in terms of this particular thing, which has actually meant that as far as each school is concerned, thanks to Wycombe Mature Plants, each tree has actually received, or each school, I should say, has received a real tree of their own to plant for future generations.
I think that's a beautiful idea as well for the children, and it's a way to sort of get together creatively to create something. And obviously trees are a really important part of life in general, really. But there's some beautiful pieces here. I couldn't choose between them what the children have done.
If you check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Southside Broadcasting, you'll see for the NEHS Autumn Flower Show the sort of range of things that they've actually got there. And just looking at some of the names here, I've got a few name checks. We've got Boroughbridge Primary, we've got Meadowside Academy, and we've even got St Mary's Catholic Primary School from Knaresborough, who've actually put in an entry, plus, of course, lots of others. And nice to see, though, that they do get a genuine tree that they can actually sort of say, well, we helped win that tree.
They did, and it's a good example for generations as well about planting trees and, you know, new life, new generation. It's good to get the children involved in something like that as well. And the pieces are so different. You can see all the schools have got such a different, idea of how they'd want their tree to look. So
I think the patriotic tree is very interesting now with the Union Jack flag.
Yes, and there's a rose-looking tree as well, which is quite pretty. I just like roses in general. So
I think if you wish to actually do the equivalent of radio bingo or the drinking game, every time the word rose is mentioned in this particular slot, you'll probably be somewhat happy by the end of the actual piece. But I have a sense, Chloe, that I just sense in terms of using my telepathic abilities here that we're thinking giant vegetables now.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, I have seen these giant vegetables. I saw them in the, you know, the brochure, and I thought, oh, this
can't believe that. Photoshopped, obviously.
Can't you? Obviously. And then when I got here, with Alex, of course, I thought, crikey, I mean, there's some amazing things. I thought, how on earth? I want to know how they do that.
Let's go on an exploration. Let's go and sort that out and seek out those giant vegetables at the NHS Autumn 2019 Flower Show. The Yorkshire Wildlife Trust. Yes, of course, we're in Yorkshire, so clearly we're going to focus on the Yorkshire Wildlife Trust. And although we have spoken in times past with these fine folk, they've got a new team on location. Actually, I think they've got a new location, because I think they've actually changed the location of the whole thing, much like the Flower Show is changing its location. But we're delighted now to speak to
Jodie
and
Brian.
Excellent. Jodie, let's come to you first. What's not to love about a barn owl that's sort of staring out there with Support Yorkshire's Wildlife? I mean, is it a barn owl or is it a tawny owl?
It's a barn owl. They're definitely one of my favourites anyway.
Drew us here. And Spike's friend, Chloe, a hedgehog, is also behind Brian as well.
True. It's lovely. We do have a hedgehog that we take around with us everywhere.
We'll introduce you to him after the end of the interview, actually. So
they're a dying breed.
Tell me about it. Tell us a bit about the Yorkshire Wildlife Trust and why it's so important to get people from all ages, but in particular youngsters perhaps, involved with supporting wildlife and concerns like this.
Well, I think in recent years, decades, it's very apparent that wildlife has been declining across the whole country and the world for that matter. And Yorkshire Wildlife Trust have over 100 nature reserves that we look after, and our purpose is to try and provide habitat and safe living places for the wildlife so that it can survive. And it's so important to get young people especially involved in it, because they are the future of preserving
us,
our countryside.
Basically.
Yes, yeah.
And how did you get involved yourself?
I've been working for them about 2 years now, because I'm studying wildlife conservation at uni as well. It all fits in very nicely together to work for these and to do that.
And so, even though I'm from the University of Lincoln, I'm happy to name check other universities. They are available. So the university is?
Bishop Burton College.
There you are.
Yes.
Well, back in the day, in the 20th century, of course, Bishop Burton used to be part of the University of Humberside,
yeah,
before, of course, the great diaspora occurred and we moved down to Lincoln. Still, that's another tale for another time, etc. So, how do we go about that message then? I mean, what's the strategy? I mean, obviously you've got a stand here, which is great. You've got some fantastic photographs. What's the sort of strategy you're using?
We have a membership. Obviously, we've got nearly 45,000 members in Yorkshire now. We produce a quarterly magazine that gets sent free to all our members, which has all the latest news and views about what's going on in Yorkshire. There's lots of nature articles in it. There are ideas about
lots of exciting things.
Yeah,
clearly,
lots of exciting things,
now
yeah.
I mean, thinking about that, Chloe is an awesome singer-songwriter based in Cleethorpes,
oh, right.
So Lincolnshire from that point of view. And I'm thinking, Chloe, maybe a musical could be developed to the Yorkshire Wildlife Trust.
I think this would be fabulous, or a song that sends out the message about how important wildlife is. The Wildlife Yorkshire Trust, get everybody to register. That would be an amazing idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we could do it.
Does that appeal, getting a professional singer-songwriter to actually do a song for you?
I'm sure.
You weren't expecting that this time of the day, were you?
I'm sure our comms team would be over the moon to hear about it. Yeah,
yeah.
Great. Get in touch.
Share with us how people can, if they can't get to this year's Autumn Flower Show, how can they actually access the Yorkshire Wildlife Trust? Is it as simple as pointing your browser in that direction?
Yes,
well,
there's
so many nature reserves that you can go visit. There's 104 now just across Yorkshire, so you can cover your area if you're north, south, east, west, wherever it is. There's something you can do with the Yorkshire Wildlife Trust.
And I think it's fair to say, yeah, we did talk about this before, but maybe, Chloe, this year or in 2020, we can actually look to whatever happens politically, and Lord knows what's happening in that thing. I promise I will not mention it again. The B word will not be mentioned, but maybe we can actually do a location with one of these events.
Maybe that would be great. I wanted to ask a question really quickly. With the Wildlife Trust, I'm sure you know a lot about the animals and all that. Is there like a specific animal that needs the most help, or that's quite?
Is it the hedgehog?
I'm just intrigued.
Hedgehogs are a prime example. Yeah, they have declined drastically over the last few decades with the decimation of their habitat, but there's numerous others.
Both fowl and birds, there's so many. The thing is, all these things work together, so if you just start looking after the homes, their habitats, then it's not just one species that'll benefit from it, it's thousands.
I think you could advise the president of Brazil about that matter, because I think he's a bit confused about the issue, really.
I can give it a go.
It's awesome. It's been fabulous sharing some thoughts with your good self. I may actually be back tomorrow. Chloe will not be around tomorrow, but I'll be back possibly with a veterinary surgeon, so it'd be nice to get a little view there. Will you be around then?
Yeah, there'll be a couple new people here.
New people?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, it's been awesome connecting with your good self today. We'll now do the photo shoot for obviously our Facebook fans, etc., to ensure that Spike, our mascot, actually sort of sees that his fellow hedgehogs are being looked after. We have got three very, very, very important people with us now, because they have clipboards, Chloe.
It's very exciting.
Over the years, it doesn't matter whether we're at Royal Ascot or whether we're actually at the Edinburgh Royal Highland Show, people with clipboards are very important. Isn't that right?
Apparently, you can stay in the army a long time if you just walk around with a clipboard.
That is a critical thing. A clipboard is to hand. And we're speaking to
Eleanor Goddard.
Eleanor and
Lynn Mee.
And
Chris Waltho.
Excellent. Now, Chloe, this is her first ever Autumn Flower Show. She has been, I think, first say, blown away by the size of the vegetables.
I think it's incredible. I'm just wondering, how on earth do they get them that, you know, giant? How does that even happen? I'm sure they know. Okay.
Just to set the scene, we have Harrogate Flower Show judge here. So what are you looking for before we actually find out how the secret is developed?
Oh, well, we're actually judging the trade stands, not actually the...
That's okay. That's the same thing. What are you looking for in the trade stand?
Oh, just point of sale, the appearance of how professional they look, and the backdrop of making it 3D so you appreciate all the products.
And do you have tension at all in terms of, are there any moments where you do your stand and you think, I think it should be, let's give a shameless plug to, I don't know, Rob's Hill Farm Blueberry Hill Preserves, etc., or various other things, or I think it should be, you know, that wonderful sort of Joe 90s kind of outdoor routine. What's the line?
I think so far we've been quite joined up in what we've been thinking, because it's the stands which are jumping out at us are really jumping out at all of us. So, yeah.
Is there ever a time, and no names obviously here for clear reasons, where you thought, well, that was rubbish?
Not very often. There's, can't say there hasn't ever not been one. But, you know, they get advice. We feedback.
They don't return.
Well, no, I think they do actually. They come back better the next year.
So there we are. So it's nurturing the whole thing. Chloe?
Well, it's lovely. I'm just getting to know sort of what works and what doesn't work as well in terms of, you know, the arrangement.
Has the judging been finished? Presumably, is it all top secret? When is it revealed? When do you actually make that announcement where people can actually sort of turn around and say, this is the stand of the year?
For the trade stands, later this afternoon.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we normally let everybody know this afternoon.
So we'll come back tomorrow and hopefully that will be revealed. It's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with yourself. We need to do a group photo, obviously. And we will speak again soon. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Actually, there is one last question. I've got to ask you. It's going to be a standard one, and I'm sure you'll be asked many times by other colleagues in the media. The shift to Newby Hall. Your thoughts? Silence.
I think it's exciting. It's a change. Newby Hall's a beautiful venue. I think people will enjoy the autumn flower show there.
And?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a change. It's always nice to have a change.
You see, I feel we had a change when they demolished this building and they rebuilt it up again, basically. But anyway, it's all going to be good. As long as Camilla and Nick are actually there, I'm sure things will work well.
I agree.
Now, having just spoken to the judges of the trade stands, I think the House of Kojo could be a runner. I won't say anything, but I just think it could be a runner because it's got unusual houseplants delivered. So what do we mean by unusual houseplants? Are we talking triffids here?
We're not talking triffids, no, but unusual colours, so beautiful leaves and different textures. There's a real movement for houseplants at the moment, but air purifying plants. But we sell a lot online, so we get delivered straight to your door, which is great. And we also do a plant subscription, so once a month you'll get sent a really nice unusual houseplant. For example, this month's a Senecio crassimus. In a handmade plant pot. So they're great as gifts or wedding presents, etc., etc.
That's awesome. And your name is?
Sophie Lee.
I just wanted to confirm it wasn't Sophie Kojo or something on that sort of basis. And your colleague who's also doing double duty on the stand is?
Hey, I'm Daniel.
Daniel, okay. Sophie, how did you get involved in unusual houseplants?
So my mum's a florist. And then I started with some unusual sort of succulents, echeveras, and that was 5 years ago. And then I was asked to write a book about plants. So I wrote a book about houseplants called Living with Plants.
You're the author of Living with Plants, Sophie.
Yeah. which has been translated into 4 languages, which is amazing. But I've really noticed online sales. So people like to just shop directly from Instagram and then they just buy online and it gets delivered to their door. So, yeah.
Chloe?
It's fantastic. I think as well it's a good market for those people that are wanting something a bit more unusual and personalised as a gift to give to someone. I know you can't see it, but I particularly like that plant.
Calathea rosa-picta. Yes, it's beautiful. That's actually the plant on the cover of my book. Yes, it's a bestseller for us. But yeah, people are living in smaller spaces, people don't have gardens, so they like to bring a bit of greenery inside and just have some greenery, some air purifying plants.
And for some reason, have you been at the autumn or spring flower shows before and have we just missed you?
No, this is our first time here.
So just like Chloe, this is your first time exhibiting.
Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah, definitely.
See, for a moment I was going to have a guilt trip and say, why haven't we ever covered House of Kojo before? Why haven't we actually featured it? Because you haven't been here before, which is fantastic. And your thoughts on your first one?
Well, we're really excited. We've had a good look round. There's some, well, there's some fantastic stalls, and it's, I don't know, everyone seems happy, and everyone's, you can tell everyone's really into plants and flowers. So,
and I've got a comment. Do we actually have a Newcastle lad here? Is there a Tyneside accent? There's a slight brogue. Are you going to turn around saying, no, of course not, I'm from Durham?
Well, I was trying to speak the Queen's English.
White pets.
Is she not from Newcastle as well? Yeah, I'm from Newcastle. So.
Look, as a lad born and bred in Middlesbrough, we have to go south to civilise some of these Harrogate people. It's just a matter of course. And your own route, Sophie?
I was born in Oxford, but live in York.
So you're kind of moving closer to civilisation, really. But not quite there. Yeah. Listen, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with yourself today. Web address, how can people actually find your good site? I see you've got an Instagram, House of Kojo, yeah. At
House of Kojo on Instagram, or houseofkojo, KOJO.com.
Very good. Please check them out.
Chloe is a keen Instagram girl, basically, when she's not doing singer-songwriting routines, etc. I think, you know, it could be an Instagram set up from that point of view. And again, that £25 a month gets you a plant with the hashtag PlantPostClub.
Indeed. That's our subscription service.
Well, in the spring, of course, when we were here for the NEHS Spring Flower Show, obviously, we didn't actually touch base with Lawn Hero, but it's quite outrageous because clearly Lawn Heroes are just full of fungi. Sorry, I couldn't resist it. But talk to us about your wonderful Lawn Hero quality seed blends. Lawn Hero man, whose name is
Zachary Lamont Rodriguez.
Zachary, tell us a bit about Lawn Heroes, because this really looks as though, you know, when the flower show sort of shifts its location to Newby Hall needs some good sort of quality lawn, etc. What's it all about?
Yeah, so we're just trying to spread the message of sowing wildflowers around the area. We're trying to bring in the pollinators, bring in the bees. We all know they're in trouble, so let's help them out a bit. And then we can have our own organic mushrooms that we're growing ourselves. And it's just a matter of, you know, giving something back to nature and enjoying the planet we live on.
It's fantastic. And again, something which certainly our colleagues in terms of beekeeping would heartily endorse, I've no doubt. Chloe?
I think that's a fantastic idea as well, because they do say about the bees, and it's quite, you know, dangerous, isn't it, at the moment with them. So I think bringing something like this, it's helping the community, it's helping the environment. It's a fantastic idea.
And for those people who are thinking about some early Christmas shopping, what better than a Lawn Hero gift set to actually sort of set that standard going? It's unusual, it's unique, it helps the planet.
Yes, we've just started our gift sets, actually. We've come in three different sizes, and they make for just the perfect Christmas gift, or indeed birthdays, or, well, any gift.
All year round, really. Now, share with us your colleagues who are currently working. I mean, we've got one gentleman here who looks as... I mean, he's got the official superhero Lawn Hero T-shirt out there. Chloe, you said you're a big Marvel Comics fan. I mean, there isn't Lawn Hero Man as yet.
Exactly. Well, it could be the new hero, Lawn Hero. I like that.
I see what you did there.
Don't necessarily need a cape for this job, but, we like to think of ourselves as heroing the countryside. Our philosophy is sort of like what we've been... repeating with farming, where they'll sort of leave a section to let go wild. We're trying to encourage people with just an ordinary garden, any amount of land, to really just let things go wild. You know, plants aren't weeds, they're just not, you know, they're sometimes just in the wrong place, but we're actually putting them back in. So where people have been sort of treating lawns for decades now, we say no to pesticides, let's put things wild, and let's see some colour in the gardens.
Fabulous idea.
I'm intrigued in terms of that comment that you made there, in terms of making sure that gardens are allowed to actually grow and develop, because it is such an important part. And we almost sort of think now, in the sort of second decade of the 21st century, how could we actually have gone to a stage where we basically wanted to put pesticides down, etc. I mean, Zach, you're probably too young to remember the 20th century, so, you know, it's probably a long, long time ago. I'm not. As Chloe said, I'm probably about 196, but that's by the by. How did you get involved with Lawn Hero, Zach? I mean, was it something which you thought, yeah, this fits?
Well, my dad set up the company initially, and
this is your father.
Yeah, this is my father. Yeah,
family business.
Yeah, it's a family business. It's myself, Nick Lamont. It's my wife, Tracy Lamont, and my son, Zach. I think that's nice. I think people sort of respect that and actually sort of take on that. You know, people get confidence in that. You know, we're very, very passionate about what we do.
And diversity, of course, that's the key thing. It allows, if you let your lawn grow and develop, you get much more diversification, which is obviously good.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the key sort of
points for us was encouraging bee populations. Bees are sort of on the headlines quite often. There are serious problems with bees, but as other pollinators as well, butterflies are on the decline, and that has a sort of a knock-on effect for everything. It affects birds, it affects then mammals and whatnot. So the idea of wilding an area instead of over-cultivating an area, actually it's great all round. And if you grow veg like a lot of the guys in here do, you know, if you're introducing pollinators to your garden, it helps you with your veg plots as well. You know, so it's sort of winner-winner.
Chicken dinner,
exactly. Oh, I was going to not say that.
I felt like that when you said it, yeah.
Straight in there. And I also see you've even got some wonderful bee, not toys exactly, but bee mementos that you've got there.
Well, the bees are cane toppers. Again, they're a little bit fun, and it was, again, to sort of encourage children, you know, because a lot of kids are frightened of bees. The reality is it's very, very rare you'll get stung by a bee if you just leave them well alone.
It's one of the reasons we actually named our particular mode of transport to the show today Bumblebee, you know, just to actually get that message across.
Brilliant, yeah. I mean, that's exactly it, because a lot of children, I mean, we go into schools and things like that, and a lot of children are naturally scared of bees because, you know, they can be stung. But when you ask a classroom, how many of you have been stung, nobody puts their hands up. You know, so it's very, very rare. I've been a gardener for far too long, and I've been stung once. You know, so it's very rare. And I actually put my hand on a bit of wood which had the bee on it, so he would have left me alone.
I mean, normally, as they're like most creatures, even wasps, dare I say, they usually don't react unless you start beginning to stir up their particular nest.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So educating children, it starts the ball rolling. We're going into schools and making wild areas in schools, and it's just... It's a re-education, you know, and as I say, the biggest deal for us is to sort of, let's stop using pesticides, let's go wild, you know, and it doesn't matter if in a garden, you know, people say to us, well, we haven't got a big garden, and, well, you can put it in a trough, you can have wildflowers growing in pots, you can have them growing in the beds, you know, so it can be very easily done.
Zach and Father, delighted to cut space with a good self. Hats off to your mum as well, who during the course of this interview has been continuing to keep the stand going single-handedly, which is fantastic. So it's great stuff there. Obviously multitasking with that. We'll take a few photos. A reminder in terms of how can people access Lawn Hero online?
Yes, we have our website, lawn-hero.co.uk, and then we also have fungenius.co.uk. So you can buy all our products and just read all about us.
Quite right. And in case people are wondering, of a certain chronological vintage, are we talking lawn as in Lawn Green, the Ben Cartwright actor from Bonanza? No, it's L-A-W-N. You probably don't remember Bonanza.
I know Lawn Green. Battlestar Galactica.
That's what you choose for, Zach, okay?
Yeah, I
remember.
Yeah,
exactly.
When we meet up with Nick Smith, it's always a magical time. But somehow, Nick, I feel today with Chloe Rose having her first ever experience of a flower show as a singer. Songwriter, yeah, it's astoundingly wonderful.
It is, you know. It's nice to bring new faces to the flower show, and it's lovely to have Chloe and yourself, of course.
Thank you.
Equally lovely face, Alex, obviously.
I just have to say, this just gets better and better, and we've had some initial sort of vibes so far from people who are actually looking forward to the next stage, of course, Newbie Hall. As show director, can you share any thoughts with respect to that exciting news? We've already taken Chloe in front of the wonderful sort of stand that you've actually got here, so thinking ahead as ever.
I think it's very much, it's exciting for us, because it's the idea of having two opportunities a year to create something completely different for our visitors. You know, traditionally we've had both our shows on this site, which has worked very well, but we've got to look ahead, and we've got to look at what will get new people to come along. So let's keep the spring show here, where we build crazy things and do all that sort of stuff. But for a show that's about produce and celebrating what we've grown in that season, where better than an absolutely fantastic Hall and Gardens that is renowned for its quality of its land?
Chloe, your thoughts and questions for show director extraordinaire as the music strikes up there in the distance, which is fantastic. In fact, it's your theme, Nick, isn't it? Really, action, adventure, go-getting, professional, superb.
That's it.
How did you get into this kind of thing, then? That's what I'm intrigued about. Like, how many years have you been doing this?
So I've done this for 6 years now. So this is my 6 years of flares.
I can't believe that, Nick.
I know, it's quite frightening.
Only yesterday I was saying Martin Fisher's done a good job, but Nick's going to do better.
6 years, absolutely. Before that, I worked in Heritage Lottery. I worked in developing estates and gardens with Heritage Lottery Fund. And then before that, I was, for my sins, a landscape architect. So,
gosh.
Strange old route.
It does. That makes sense why you're here, then. Is it landscape? You know, it's like crazy.
Some of the exhibitors we've already spoken to, some of them are actually first time around, unusual plants, sometimes just one or two, etc. But there's such an energy here. There's also a kind of underlying theme of care for the environment, which I think, Chloe, you picked up on.
Yes, with the Lawn Hero as well, they're creating things that are making a difference and it's helping the environment as well. You know, the bees, because obviously they're in danger. So what they're bringing in to that, to their sort of company, is helping. So it's fantastic.
And Nick, we've even spoken to some of the judges for the trade stands. You'll be pleased to know that they literally would not be moved when we tried to quiz them on who'd won.
That's good to hear. But going back to what Chloe said, we've got a lovely stand just ahead of us there, which is rewilding, and it's all about rewilding a landscape, going back to how nature intended. And it's quite a conversation, because whether you want to do that, whether we like our ideas of parks all formal and things like that, it's a lovely conversation to have, and this is a great opportunity to do it.
And I think that's what we're learning as well, how to make a difference to the world around us. I think that's really important right now, especially with so much going on at the moment. We need to, you know, put something together, get it sorted, really.
Well, we were talking on the way here about the B word, Nick, and Chloe actually had a possible solution to that, if we can actually get a few words with, obviously, the current incumbent of 10 Downing Street. I think, Chloe, you said you were going to...
Oh, I...
Literally look him in the eye and said, can we please stay?
Can we please stay?
No, is that not going to... I mean, surely.
Do you know what? It doesn't matter. This weekend is all about just great fun. And you know what? I don't want the B word here, do
no,
you?
Exactly. But surely even the most hard-hearted Exeter couldn't actually respond with that line. Chloe, it is...
Can we please stay?
Like puppy dog eyes as well.
It was heartfelt, that, wasn't it? It was absolutely heartfelt.
There was passion behind those eyes. There really was.
Nick, it's been fantastic as ever. Hopefully we'll catch up again, if not later on today, then tomorrow. Again, another 10 out of 10. Outstanding scenario. And I can already hear the tears in Harrogate saying, oh no, not the last one. But the good news is, you will be here for the Spring Show, presumably.
Absolutely. Spring Show, new contract signed for the next few years, so we are happy here for that.
In this particular area of the showgrounds that we're currently basing ourselves in, Creative Spaces 2019, you've been particularly taken, Chloe, with something which actually, if you just move forward a little bit, has indeed won a gold award. We can see the actual gold award stand there for this very patriotic, very World War II centred thing, commemorating, of course, the 80th anniversary of the start of World War II, a border which aims to bring generations together to talk and remember. So what is it about this, Chloe, that appeals?
I think it's just wonderful because, as well as bringing generations together, it's depicting such an important time, you know, in the past for us all, and it's just beautifully creative as well, created like the poppies and you can see the aircraft as well and the picture at the back. I just think it's a beautiful piece, really. It takes you back in time, doesn't it?
You've got a Chilean thing there. You've got obviously the abstract aircraft, etc., and probably a not-to-scale carrot or animal or beastie who's in the middle.
That's my favourite part of it, that character. With a helmet.
When we did our annual pre-show telephonic piece with Nick Smith a couple of weeks ago, Chloe, whilst you were busily actually waiting for help to come to assistance after you'd crashed your car, don't worry, she's all right now, listen.
Oh no, it's all good, it's all good.
We were taken with the phrase, down the bog. And we've now actually arrived at the space which is down the bog from Wax Wicked Plants, which has actually won a Premier Gold Award.
It is. It's beautiful. You know, I'm just looking at all the different pieces. There's so many different ones, completely different ideas, but this is very nice indeed. It's American pitcher plants, and there's like little insects in there as well. It says insects beware.
Possibly spiders.
But down the bog...
Plants are carnivorous.
Yes. But there's obviously a bog with plants in the bog.
It's quite literally down the bog.
It really is. It actually is, but it's like, you know, it could be overgrown down the bog, but it's a really nice idea. It's totally different. I wouldn't have thought of it myself. That's what I like about this.
I would agree. And then presumably having won a Premier Gold Award, you could actually say with the title it'll be flushed with success.
You are so funny. Absolutely.
Chloe, one of the kind of staples of many of these events is the time we can say to Blueberry Hill Preserves. It's Rob from Blueberry Hill Preserves. Now, that can be at the Burley Horse Trials, it can be at the Saltburn International Food Festival, it can be all over the place, but the quality is actually there. And you were also intrigued because you've just said you love jam.
There's something very special about this stand. It's not just the jam that we've just seen. It's... We're going to go on that in a minute. But I've seen... Hang on, where is it? Strawberry and Prosecco jam. This is
Rob,
amazing.
I mean, this is clearly, she's honed in on this, strawberry and Prosecco.
Well, she's a young Prosecco lady, clearly, well used to drinking it on a frequent basis, I would imagine. Well, it's because we appeal to both young and old, so strawberry would be a very traditional jam. And so we just put a little bit of Prosecco, it's only 1%, so we can appeal to not only the traditionalists, because it's got a lovely fruity strawberry flavour, but also the younger end of our society as well, who might want a little bit of something different, a little bit artisan, a little bit innovative, you know?
You realise you've probably convinced me to actually purchase them as part of a fee for this today, you know?
You'll be more than welcome, sir.
I tell you what, he certainly makes a stand, he really does. A lot of confidence, he's got that vibe, he's saying, come on, come get your jam, come get your marmalade. It makes sense.
You see, Rob, this is what happens when you have a wonderful entertainer who can actually do a critique of the performance of stands, and that's why we had confidence that you would deliver some.
The best compliment you can get as a performer is from another performer, whether you're selling jam or singing songs or playing guitar or whatever it is, because they know what goes into doing it. So it means more than anything else, to be fair.
It's well worth noting, Chloe, that Rob, when he's not here, is also a musician.
I want to know more about this. Is this the right topic? I feel like we should go into this quickly.
Yeah.
Yes.
He wants to go into it quickly, Rob. Take it away.
It's nothing too special. I sing in a band.
What type of music?
We play all sorts of things, right from late 50s right through to current day. So six of us.
Yeah.
So we were all together. Well, actually, five of us were together at school, which is a long time ago before you ask. And we didn't see each other for about 20 years. Then we got together for my 50th, which was relatively
short
time
ago.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be a one-off, and we've done it ever since. So we live all over the country, so we only play about five or six times a year, big events, and we love it. It's fantastic.
That's fabulous. That's all you can wish, to have a passion in what you're doing. And I can see that you've got that as well within your company. You've got a passion for this, with jam and marmalade.
Chloe, I could see a situation where you might be a guest singer for one of these bands, because as a professional singer, clearly it could just open up a whole range of things, Rob.
You never know. We have another, because I sing with a lady singer as well. So I do sing with a lady singer, so there's two of us front it up, and she's far more talented than I am. She was my teacher, singing tutor, yeah, and we got an opportunity to try and make it easier for me. Yeah, exactly right.
Make it easier. I like that.
So she covers for all my glaring errors and flat notes and all the rest that goes with it, and she kicks my backside and tells me what I'm doing wrong most of the time.
Sounds like you can know him anyways. I'm only kidding. Blueberry Hill Preserves, of course, this has been one of those other wonderful tangential interviews which has gone into Rob's singing career, which is fantastic. We will come back. Rob, do you think Chloe's up for the taste test?
She looks up for anything to me, to be brutally
please.
Honest.
Please.
Me? Well, nicely. Classy.
Tangential was a good word as well. Yeah. Showing your dictionary skills here to the fullest.
Yes.
She can try anything she likes. So we've got a range of curds, jams and marmalades on this side. We have a reciprocal deal with Wensadel Cheese, so we sell all their wax truckles. We have some spicy sauces in the middle. And then on the other side of the table, we've got a huge range of chutneys and pickles, ranging from mild up to fruity to spicy to warm at the far end. So you take your pick, my dear. Feel free.
Go for it, Chloe. And meanwhile, we'll let Rob sort of deal with a few other bits and pieces. And, of course, do the photo shoot, Rob, in a few moments.
It's always a pleasure to see you guys.
With the words Rucello, we're delighted now to speak to a man who I think knows his rhubarb. It is, of course, the wonderful
David Burnley.
Yay, David Burnley.
Mr. Rucello, there you go.
Mr. Rucello.
Well, it depends. You can say it with an Italian accent. Rucello, yeah. Something like that. Or if you want, you just Rucello, if that's a better sort of...
Even better.
I like the first one. The first option was amazing. Yeah, it was uplifting and it was Rucello.
Just like the Rucello itself. Yeah, yes. Have a try. Go on then.
You're not the designated driver, so I'm fine.
That's fine. I mean, I'm very much a lightweight, but it's very small, so it's fine.
All right.
Yeah, well, bear this in mind, you know.
Well, this is radio, so we can't see your face, but down it goes.
And the thoughts?
Oh, wow.
There we go. We see. What a reaction.
Sorry, I'm making a lot of noises. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It tastes like rhubarb, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Possibly because it's made of rhubarb?
It is. It's a lot of rhubarb in it.
Now, I've got to say, I'm taken with the photographs you've got here. I mean, this looks like a gentleman who clearly has actually been, quite frankly, astounded by his Rucello rhubarb sticks. I mean, Chloe, just take us through this. And any questions, I'm sure, because I just think this is probably one of the most extraordinary photographs I've ever seen.
How can I ask the magic of this, you know, the ingredients of the Rucella? What's the magic of it? Or can't you give it away? Is it a mystery?
The magic ingredient is rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
Lots of rhubarb. Yorkshire rhubarb. There's no foreign muck in it. It's all good Yorkshire stuff, is this, from the rhubarb triangle. So all it is it's just rhubarb juice with a bit of sugar and alcohol. Now, the processing is a little bit different. So it's not just steeped in like vodka or gin like a lot of other ones. This is an actual proper liqueur, so it's made with grain spirit. So if you look on the back of the bottle, you'll see it says it's 18% alcohol. What that means is the other 82% is basically rhubarb.
Well,
so
I mean,
healthy
that
as well.
It all. It's healthy.
It is. It's one of your five a day. And best of all, everybody thinks it's a fruit. It's not. It's a vegetable. It's a vegetable. So it's good for you. It's good for you.
Drink it now. Forever.
I mean, for those people who are actually ever catch daytime television with The Chase, you know, it's just for a moment there, the repetition, it sort of brought me in mind of The Dark Destroyer. You know, it's good for you. It's good for you.
Of course it is. Yeah. It's really. I mean, the sugar and the alcohol is terrible for you, but the rhubarb's good.
And how can people find you if they can't get to this year's North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show? Do you have an online service?
We don't actually have an online
service.
Well, we've got a website that you can go on, and we've got a Twitter feed, and we've got a Facebook page. But unfortunately,
can we visit you?
Well, there's a licensing issue that I've got, you see. This is actually made in my mum's kitchen, which is, so it's not a what you would call a big company, shall we say.
But it's growing. It's growing.
It is growing.
We're getting a whole range of other factors there, and presumably we'll continue to do so. And where can we find you then in the show season? I mean, we're coming around to the autumn times, etc. Will you be appearing at Countryside Live? What's that sort of like?
Well, we've got one or two more shows booked. So we're going to do the BBC Good Food Show in Birmingham. That's coming up later on in the year. And then I'm hoping to get on to Grassington Dickensian Fair, which is one of our favourites because we like dressing up. But after that, we've got a little problem because the rhubarb stops growing. So when I've run out of stock...
Put it in a dark room.
Well, when I've run out of stock, that's it until January, and then it all starts coming through again.
Well, you have to wait till January then.
Attention is outstanding. Listen, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self today. I think I'll echo Chloe's Wine's thoughts there. Wow. Many thanks indeed. See you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Chloe, we've decided to take a few moments to actually just rest our weary limbs, well, whatever, and we're actually at the Feast Food Theatre because, of course, as with most of these flower shows, clearly a lot of the importance of bees and vegetables and so on is that they're grown, they're then cooked, etc. And we're now going to actually see a demonstration by the Yorkshire World's Cookery School, I believe.
Exactly, and this food theatre, Feast Food Theatre, they do have courses on to learn how to make certain things, and I think I might take a lot from this, from cooking. I might learn some more skills.
Well, so if they impress us, and specifically if they impress your good self, Chloe, we might grab a few words with them after the little session. Clearly they're sort of drumming up business now. And it's a dream. I'm always very impressed how chefs actually manage to do this sort of demonstration whilst cameras are pointing at them as well, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on for them at the moment, and they're trying to bring people in as they're sort of cooking and talking to people as well. But, I mean, there's a crowd forming as well. There is people coming in.
Well, Chloe, we've just actually taken part. We haven't taken part, but we've been observing a wonderful masterclass in cookery from the Yorkshire World's Cookery School. And we've got the star of the whole presentation here. And, of course, yourself, Sally, is your name is?
Sally Gardner.
There is only one Sally Gardner. Well done, Sally. Congratulations. Outstanding stuff.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Did you take away any tips at
all?
Well,
yes, plums.
Okay.
I think prepping plums is my catchphrase of the show so far.
Very good. Well, it's a worthwhile tip to have. So
absolutely essential. And I think combine that with your English teacher, I can see that literature in the kitchen, it's wonderful.
Ever important, yes.
Okay. We've also got your colleague, of course, who is here from the Yorkshire World's Cookery School, whose name is?
Alison Johnson. I'm the Business Development Manager.
Okay, Alison, tour de force, fantastic presentation. Chloe was looking with great interest.
I was taking some tips, and it looked delicious, very nice.
And when you're doing this particular kind of event, I mean, I often think that to actually sort of do all the preparation and talk and deal with the rest of the species, it's quite a challenge.
It certainly is. And today was actually my very first one of these kind of demonstrations.
Really?
Yes. So I do various other demonstrations, obviously at Cook School. I'm demonstrating to the classes. And I also work for AGA as a demonstrator for them. But this is my first type of demonstration in this sort of format.
Well, congratulations. We're privileged to be part of the audience.
Thank you very much.
And returning to the Yorkshire Wells Cookery School, because, I mean, Chloe, you were saying this sounds like an ideal location report. We should go there.
We should. I'd love to know what it's like, you know, with the courses that you offer as well, especially like you were saying about parties and getting everyone involved. I think it's a wonderful thing to do, especially for a hen party.
Yeah, but the building is quite versatile because we've got on-site bed and breakfast and large lounge and dining room. Yes, we can do a whole range of things, hen parties, birthday parties, team building events. So if you wanted to come with your team, you'd be very welcome. We can do bespoke days for yourself, or you could join on one of the courses on our course calendar, of which there's quite a range. There's Thai, Indian, Italian. In fact, Sally's doing an Italian class tomorrow, aren't you, Sally?
So it's risotto and gnocchi and panna cotta.
You do this deliberately just to get our sort
I'm
of...
I'm so jealous.
So we were hearing, obviously, at the start, of course, the location of the show is moving. Don't worry. We've had a word with Nick Smith. They couldn't do with that, the Yorkshire Wells Cookery School. I mean, you'll be here next year, obviously.
I hope so. I do hope to be invited back, so yeah.
Most definitely. And just to share with us, web address, how can people get in touch with the Yorkshire Wells Cookery School?
It's www.yorkshirewellscookeryschool.co.uk.
I have to say, congratulations once again. First time round, very impressive. Because obviously, Chloe, a professional singer-songwriter, I do various other presentation classes at the University of Lincoln, etc. And we thought, yes, this was good.
I did. I really enjoyed it. You learn a new thing every day.
Oh, well, happy to help.
Chloe, we have moved away from the cookery demonstration into the craft area, and I was immediately taken with Memento Bears.
Well, cuddly toys, it's definitely one of my things. I like them.
They're just sensational here. And what better way to actually have a memento bear? We're speaking to the proprietor of Memento Bears, and your name is?
Judith Graham.
Judith, talk us through what we've got here with Memento Bears, bears that can help you remember.
Well, my mother died back in 2011, and after that, I was going through bits and bobs and what. I mean, we both made bears together. I just had this thought, you know, make something of her from her clothing, you know, to remind me. Never have done it, mind you, but I've started doing it for the people, you know, so I make assortment of bears.
Quite literally, as you say there, have you got a jacket, a skirt, blouse, skirts, jumper,
yeah,
even a tie or a handkerchief put away? Would you like it turned into a bear, Chloe?
It would be lovely. I think it's nice to have something to remember someone by as well.
Rather than having it in a cupboard or a drawer somewhere, you have a little ornament that you can move around the house, you know, sit in a chair, sit in a shelf. In fact, my first customer was from the show. It was at I think Chris Anstey was. In fact, I don't know his name, but he was my first customer, you know. But
tip of the hat to Joy Graham, of course, your mum, who obviously sort of was the inspiration behind the whole idea.
She was, yes. Sadly, she's obviously no longer with us, but it's that gave me the idea, because I say I make ordinary bears, like mohair bears and other kind of collector's bears, you know, to...
I mean, we've got these bears on one side, I mean, and you've got the bigger bears on the other side.
These are for children.
Yes.
Because children's...
You may say children, but I'm already sort of thinking this white bear looks wonderful.
But children's regulations, you know, plus the cost comes into it, so I do buy these in.
That's fine.
I can't make children's bears, but the cost make one. It isn't worth it, really, so I just go for collectors and adults or memory bears, you know, so it's a...
It's a lovely idea, it really is.
Thank you.
Very much so, and is there a website that you have?
I don't have a website. I'm on Facebook, Memento Bears. I come from Carlisle, so if you put Memento Bears in, hopefully you'll find me.
So there we are, from the west coast to the east coast, Memento Bears. Delighted to speak to you.
Yeah. I also come to Harrogate Flower Show. It's a lovely show and what have you.
I'm sure we must have... I thought we might have done a piece with you in the past, but maybe
not at all.
We have now, so we put that right.
Now, yes, thank you very much indeed.
Kashbu, Chloe. Kashbu.
Yes. Well, I'm interested to find out what all this is about.
And you also buy one kashbu, and one is donated to charity as well.
Oh, that's lovely.
What is kashbu?
It looks like, I mean, I think we should ask the lady.
I think so. Kushboo, yes. From the Ribble Valley, and we're speaking now to...
Servet Jaleel, and I'm the founder of Kushboo. And Kushboo actually means fragrance in my mother tongue, which is Urdu. Oh, well, I'll learn that now. I'll be saying Kushboo.
And I see we've got peppermint and coconut, charcoal and star anise, tea tree and poppy seed. Talk us through what makes you different, because... It's more than just handmade soaps in small batches in Lancashire, surely?
It is, actually, yes. Most people who make soap or sell soap actually use a process called melt and pour. So they're buying in kind of ready-made soap, if you like, pouring it, melting it down, adding bits and pieces. I'm a traditional soap maker, so I make everything from scratch. So everything that you can see here has been made from very raw ingredients, so very high-quality base oils, and then essential oils and botanics.
If I can recall my degree level chemistry back in the day, I think it's esterification, the process of manufacturing soap?
Absolutely, yes, you're absolutely right. It's chemistry and maths. So every soap here, and there are nine, takes a different temperature and a different amount of time, really, to set or to cure, if you like, for when it's ready to be used.
Chloe?
Well, I'd love to use something like this. The bath soap, if you fancy something quite relaxing, I'd definitely invest in Kushboo.
And Chloe is a very hard-working singer-songwriter, so what would you recommend? What sort of one of these would you recommend for Chloe?
I think really all of the soaps are kind of very similar, their hands, face and body, but what makes them very different is that they're vegan, they're recyclable packaging, they're ethically sourced. But if you're looking for something that's perhaps antibacterial, then I'd go with the tea tree. If you want something that's a really good cleanser, then I'd go with the star anise. And that actually smells a bit like an old-fashioned sweet. Do you want to tell me what that might be?
It's interesting how when she says old-fashioned, she goes straight to me, and I'm thinking possibly something beginning with L, possibly licorice.
Licorice, yes.
Blackjack.
Oh. Yes, it is. I can tell as well. That's lovely.
In terms of positives, of course, 100% natural botanical ingredients, no chemicals, and responsibly sourced as well. So it's win-win in every situation.
Yes, absolutely. There's no point doing anything unless you do it. Well, the very best ability to your own ability, and also for me, it's not about compromising my values and my ethics.
Travelling from Lancashire to Yorkshire, of course, could be seen as politically charged. Obviously, red rose and white rose and those other bits and pieces there. Have you been at the show before?
Yes, I did it early this year, but I absolutely love Yorkshire as much as I love Lancashire. I'm Lancashire through and through, but for me, they're just two most beautiful parts of the world anyway, so I love the drive here and again, the drive home.
Oh, that's lovely.
Let's talk briefly about how people can actually access Kushboo online. Is there a way for that as well?
Absolutely. So you can go onto the website, which is just www.kushboo.co.uk. You can actually go on Instagram. A lot of people like to buy on Instagram because we have followers from all over the world, a lot of people who are vegan or want to buy ethically made products. And for those people who feel like they can actually support charities like the Women's Refuge, food banks and the homelessness just by actually buying something for themselves, and then we then donate to the vulnerable.
Sounds outstanding. And whereabouts in Lancashire have you come from?
From Clitheroe.
Wow, you can't get much more Lancashire than Clitheroe. Moving on from that point of view, Chloe, any final thoughts?
Just basically, how long have you been running for the company itself? Is it new, or has it been going for a few years?
Yeah, so I've been going for a few years, and it was actually a bit of an accident. So it was a long spell in hospital. My husband bought in my toiletry bag. There was a beautiful bar of soap in it, and I thought, wow, the essential oils just makes me feel so much better for that short space of time, really. And I just thought, when I come out of hospital, I'm going to make soap, and I'm going to make it for the vulnerable. So long story short, started making soap, giving it out to people, and then actually people started coming to the door and saying, can we have some more soap? And then a gallery asked me if they could stock it because they liked the paisley print which I designed, and actually the paisley there is from my wedding gown. So it's very traditional Indian because my parents were from India, and they taught me everything there is to know about the botanics and how nature really can benefit us in our well-being, our health and our beauty and food. And actually every single bar of soap has one ingredient that I use for cooking.
So it's quite personal to you as well then, which is great, I think.
Sounds wonderful. I'm delighted we managed to touch base with your good self. Is this your second flower show then? Were you here for the spring flower show?
That's correct, yes, and I hope I shall be back again in 2020.
Well, that's the next question. Obviously Yorkshire needs you. It's been a delight to take Kushboo River Valley, Ribble Valley. We'll go from strength to strength.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, a round of applause has obviously greeted the next interviewee that we're featuring, which obviously has the line, don't risk bringing plant pests and disease
into the UK. And we're delighted now to speak to...
Paul Beals.
And...
Carol Jackson.
Excellent. Paul, if we can come to you first, share with us the dangers of this. I mean, it was only a matter of days ago I was talking to one of our colleagues who was working as one of the key doctors in Africa about the Ebola virus re-emerging. Okay. That was scary. This is even scarier.
We've got a number of different pests and diseases that are sort of outside of our shores that potentially, if they came into the country, could impact a range of our plants. So everything from our trees right down to our grass really could be affected by some of these pests and diseases. We know sort of from history, from the sort of recent times really, ash dieback was a big one that came into the country, has now spread really right across the whole of the UK from sort of early days sort of in when we first found it around about 2012.
And of course I remember Dutch elm disease being a classic, and even Japanese knotweed.
Yeah, I mean you could go back even further to Irish potato famine and...
And
the potatoes, etc. So, you know, one of our sort of great successes of keeping something out was, mentioned about potatoes, is the Colorado beetle. So the Colorado beetle every year we sort of, you know, we have incursions of it, but every time we manage to eradicate it. So we're one of the few countries really, particularly around Europe, that actually is completely free of Colorado beetle, which will chomp away at potatoes, can also affect tomatoes as well, and cause real big impacts to these things. So the whole message really is, you know, become more aware of plant pests and diseases, get to know them, get to know what we have in the country, know what's normal on your garden, so then if something abnormal happens you kind of think this is unusual and kind of know where you might actually this is something different that you then can report it as something new and unusual. So it's sort of raising that awareness. Another thing is, and particularly one of the messages we're here sort of talking about today, is very much about don't bring things back from overseas, because that's a key point where you could potentially, you know, very innocently, if you just bring something back that you didn't really want to bring back as a little sort of passenger in your baggage that potentially then could come out and cause issues. I mean, this happened with fuchsia gall mite some years ago. There was a problem. Somebody, a fuchsia enthusiast, bought back some fuchsia plants and accidentally introduced the gall mite, which is now prevalent sort of around the southern regions of the UK.
Carol, should they send for you in the event of this happening? Is it a case of, if all else fails, send for Carol Jackson, she'll sort it out?
We've a number of plant health inspectors based around the country, and they're very quick to respond if anybody does find anything. We're based at some points of entry ports and airports where we do inspections to try to keep things out ourselves. But if the public do find anything, then yes, to contact us, and we'll send one of our highly qualified inspectors to sort the problem out.
Chloe.
Right, so basically if I had a problem or I thought something was a bit suspicious, we would come to you for that reason. That's right.
There's a couple of things you can do. So if you go onto a website called Tree Alert, you can actually report something directly to Tree Alert. So if you just do a Google search for Tree Alert, you'll find that, and that's one way you can report. And as Carol mentioned, we also have inspectors based around the country. Each region has its own inspectorate, so you can call into the local inspector office. There's a plant health helpline, you can call that, and if you call that up, they'll then direct you to the right person, or if it sounds like something of real concern, they'll then actually, as Carol mentioned, send out one of our plant health and seed inspectorate to them.
Would you be able to let us know how we could get in contact with you if this sort of thing happened? What would the public need to do?
Go on the website, perhaps.
Yes, gov.uk is the main website. If you sort of Google plant health information on there,
team will come through. I'm just mindful, actually, of the time a few years ago when the Channel Tunnel obviously was opened, and we had a whole range of fears about rabies and such like, and so on. Folk listening to this, etc. This seems a little bit almost more insidious than that in many ways, because actually, at least with rabies, I know it's caused with that, you can pretty much identify, but these little pesky mites, etc., can be Armageddon time for some of our plants.
Well, I mean, we don't want to sort of scaremonger over these things.
We're doomed, all right. I think Yellowhammer has actually sort of already done that, so we don't have to go too far away.
There are some very good schemes that are applied across the World Trade Organization, but also through sort of EU, our plant passporting system. So actually, we know what plants are the high-risk ones, and those ones are highly controlled for coming into the country.
And thank the Lord we're not talking about a backstop as well, but no, that's a different line entirely. Step away from that. Any final thoughts, Chloe?
Are you coming back again?
Yes.
Are you coming back to the next flower show? Yeah. Will you be here?
Well, we love it. We love talking to people. It's a great opportunity to kind of, engage with the general public. And they are our biosecurity officers. And what we're trying to do is increase the number of people who are aware of pests and diseases. So if you're aware, then we can prevent sort of, these harmful things coming into the country in the first place. And if they come in, we know where to report them.
Chloe, you absolutely spotted this next contributor because you said, it's the veggie pod man.
I did, because it was something I was thinking my mum and dad might like to use in their garden. It's a really, really good idea. So take it away.
Well, I had been sort of umming now, like, where is Mr. Veggie Pod, etc., who was basically our number one interviewee last year. I think he was one of the first people we did. I might have been on my own then, but how are you, sir?
Tired. It's been a big year. 40 shows.
40 shows.
Yeah, everything from Chelsea. I've been up to Harrogate 3 times. Spring show.
We missed you in the spring, because we were here in the spring. Obviously, we missed you there. We haven't missed you today. In fact, I might even come back tomorrow just to see how it's going. Just double up on the whole thing. And your name, of course, is?
Neil.
Neil from VeggiePod. Neil, the VeggiePod man. Chloe, would you like to quiz Neil on life, the universe, and in particular, vegetable garden kits?
Absolutely. Tell us about this VeggiePod kit.
What happens? So essentially, you just put in a few bags of compost, good quality compost, put your seeds or plants in, give it a good water, let the water settle the bed, you close the lid, create some warmth, and then let the plants grow.
It's as simple as that.
It is. Even the uninitiated can grow. I've started growing in the last year.
And that just shows the quality. You know, he does 40 shows and he grows his veggie pods at the same time.
He's a busy man. He's a busy veggie pod man.
This, of course, Neil, is a bit of a historic day. Not only is it Friday the 13th, and I gather from Camilla that even the onion scales weren't working today. Oh, no. But in terms of people who aren't suffering from tristadecaphobia, the fear of Friday the 13th, what about the notion of this being the last time for autumn, at least, that the Harrogate Show is going to be at the Harrogate Showground as opposed to Newby Hall?
Well, we don't actually know that as trade. We were finding out tonight.
Oh! Well,
there's a bit of insight there.
Well, you can look forward to excitement, because obviously social media, etc., is a buzz with the whole thing.
I'm going to feign disinterest this evening when we find out.
You see, this is what you call professionalism, Chloe. Yes. It's just fantastic. And how has the season been? As I said, 40 lots for that. It seems, as I say, like only yesterday, I think we were one of your first exhibiting places, weren't we, last year, September, October?
Well, my very first show was Chelsea last year, May. I'd only done 5 shows last year, finishing here at Harrogate. And this year, sort of the first show this year was Harrogate again, after Malvern. And then I've been everywhere across the country since.
Well, as you say, we never forget we don't forget our quality interviewees. And a reminder that you can, of course, go to VeggiePod, that's VeggiePod.co.uk, to find out all sorts of other details. Already people are sort of queuing up behind us to actually get brochures, flyers, and all the rest of the bits and pieces. So, I mean, you're going to have several PAs to actually cope with the fame that's spreading, Neil.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we'll catch up with you again maybe tomorrow, perhaps.
Look forward to it.
It would not be the flower show if we didn't make a journey to the flower arranging tent and so on, where the theme is understandably nature in action. And you can see some of the fabulous exhibits here, just looking, of course, at some of the amazing areas that have come through here. Your initial feelings on this one, Chloe?
Some lovely pieces here. I'm quite intrigued to know who's won, really.
Judging them, if we look at... this one from the Ilkley Flower Club. This is Waterways. And has the actual judging taken place? I'm going to wander around it. I'm always impressed with the design and the detail and attention to detail we've got here.
It's lovely. I mean, it's not just about the flowers that they've used and the way that they've made it. I think they're bamboo sticks. And they've sort of put the flowers within the bamboo sticks. But then they've made sort of butterflies out of cardboard, which is quite interesting, but it does look really nice.
The we turn our way to the slightly bigger, more substantial Acombe Floral Club.
I mean, I love this piece specifically because obviously it's got roses, and I
exactly.
just, they're my favourite flower, but the roses that they've got are really nice, they're orange and like a mangoey colour.
In fact, we'll give a name check to the design team for the Acombe Flower Club. They're Chris Carrick, Emiko Nelson, Margot Gill, Janet Hayton and Hazel Hall. So, again, a substantial sort of piece from that point of view. And I think it's a giant swallow, perhaps. One giant swallow does not a summer make.
That's it. Fly away. You know, go for it.
Well, we're back with chrysanthemums, which actually makes some kind of symmetry because we started off with chrysanthemums as our first interviewee today. And I've now actually realised that we clearly need to have, just as Josie and the Pussycats were a keen band of the sort of 80s and 90s, what about Chloe Rose and the Chrysanthemums?
That would be amazing. I need a band.
Yeah.
That's the name.
That could be the Chrysanthemums. Buddy Holly had his crickets. Chloe Rose can have her chrysanthemums.
I love it. Absolutely. Great name. Great name.
So your thoughts about some of the floral activities we've seen in this particular hall? I mean, again, some substantially impressive flowers.
I'm quite taken back at how beautiful some of these are, but I don't know how you would make a decision as a judge. I mean, looking at these now, I've just seen first and second place, but I'm looking at the others and thinking, well, they look just as good to me. But, I mean, it could just be the positioning of the flower itself. I don't...
We will find out.
We will find out.
Well, we haven't been able to track down any experts to really address the issue in terms of how the dahlias are developed to such a wonderful extent, or even the chrysanthemums, although we did talk to a chap this morning about the wonderful joys of chrysanthemums. We may have a few words with our resident bee man, who is in the background there basically doing all sorts of marvellous things because of all the wonderful things that bees can actually do. But Chloe, clearly it would not be appropriate for us to do the North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show without stopping by the rose.
Oh my goodness, I mean my element. I mean, such beauty in these flowers. I just think the rose is the best, not just because it's within my stage name, you know, Chloe Rose. It's not that. They are just my favourite flower, and I wouldn't say there's a better flower, to be honest. I mean, that's my opinion, but I just think roses are so beautiful. I mean, that one first prize, and that's just absolutely...
Well, several first prizes that we've actually got here, and we will actually work through those processes. Obviously, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet as William Shakespeare once said.
Absolutely. Or a rose between two thorns.
Well, every rose has a thorn.
Every rose has a thorn, that's it.
And
that's
we could continue. Exactly, we could continue, but we won't. Because we might try and just have a few words with our beekeeping people. He's in, as I expected, deep conversation at present. If we can do that, a reminder, of course, that you're listening to Southside Broadcasting on location with Siren Radio and the Midweek Drive at the 2019 North of England Horticultural Flower Show. Chloe Rose and Alex Levchuk on duty.
Fabulous.
Chloe, you were deeply impressed, obviously, with the roses, and as Chloe Rose, why wouldn't you be?
Absolutely. I was just taking it in, and then when we saw about the bees as well, we wanted to find out more.
Roses and bees, and Richard from Bees. I mean, it just doesn't get any better, really, Richard.
Well, hope not. I mean, we are in the Specialist Floral Pavilion, and that's where the bees should be with the flowers.
Chloe, you said up to now one of your favourite exhibitors were, of course, the family concern, who were very concerned about ensuring that gardens were left to develop to actually encourage bees.
Yeah. They called Lawn Heroes. So basically that they would give you certain things that would, in order, like to help it better for bees. I'm getting
that's exactly so. It's been a long day, Chloe. Don't worry, it's been a long day. It started off in Cleethorpes this morning and I'm still sort of recovering. From your own point of view, Richard, I mean, I know we've spoken over the years about the importance of bees and so on. Is it getting better?
I think people are becoming more aware that the weather this year has been up and down and very variable for the bees. And in certain parts of the country, they've done well. And in other parts of the country, they haven't. I have a great concern about a lot of the heather moors because we seem to have an influx of heather beetle. If you like heather honey, buy it now because it's short.
Oh dear.
Don't worry, Chloe, it'll be there. But unless you like heather honey, in which case it may not be.
How can we prevent, you know, the shortage of bees?
If everybody was to plant just a square yard or a square metre of continuously flowering plants. If you think about a square metre per household times the millions of households, that would help. If councils would not mow and enrich the byways, but would plant spring flowers. I mean, Harrogate has done some. Hartlepool has done a wonderful job, and Darlington is about planting in the middle of their dual carriageways with wildflowers, and then only mowing them once a year so they set seed. And it looks better, it's more relaxing for the people, and for pollinators, not just bees, but remember that pollinators come in all size, from micro, like pollen beetles themselves, all the way up to about the size of fruit bats. They're all pollinators, but they all use different plants. But the other thing is, don't go for exotic doubles and treble flowers. Simple flowers, singles, with lots of nectar, lots of pollen for the bees.
Right, well, that's something that I've learned anyway. I can, when I'm doing my gardening, that's one of the key tips.
The older varieties that smell nice, that have got lots of nectar, are what you want.
And I can see, once again, Richard, you've got another awesome display here, proving to be absolutely outstanding. Are you looking forward to shifting to Newby Hall next year?
Well, we'll see what it's like when we get there, I think.
It'll be fine.
I think it'll be fine. We are yet to hear how that arrangement will be made, but if the flowers are there, the bees will be with the flowers.
That makes so much sense. It's a perfect way to actually wrap up our coverage today. Richard, I may be back tomorrow. Chloe will be sorting out a few other bits and pieces. But Chloe, any final thoughts for Richard about bees and such like, or questions?
I'd just like to say, how have you enjoyed the day? Would you be coming back soon to do another flower show?
Like tomorrow.
Like tomorrow, yeah.
Well, I'm here till Sunday when we're helping to knock down. So I will be back tomorrow.
Right. And maybe you might get a bee visit.
Maybe so.
Well, we've got a gold award.
Oh, you see, wow. We knew it was. Oh, I was holding it back.
We knew it was coming.
We have a gold award, and we've had lots of visitors and lots of interest. Our honey show has been good. Are you coming up anywhere near Darlington?
For you, Richard, we'll make every effort to do that. Well, talk to us. Why should we be in Darlington in a fortnight's time?
Because on the 28th, in the covered market in Darlington, Darlington beekeepers will be having their first public honey show.
Wow, this is very tempting. I mean, the only thing that's crossing my mind is I'm supposed to be on open day duties at the University of Lincoln then, but we'll see. Is it just the one day?
Just the one day, basically from 9 till 4, the Lord Mayor is opening, and we will be having this demonstration tent from British Beekeeping Association there, so you can see all about the bees and trying to educate everybody to be nice to the environment, be nice to the pollinators, big or small, bees or not bees. If you're kind to the environment, it will be kind to you.
It's genius. It's like copywriting. It's on a be nice to the environment, be kind. Richard, awesome. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
And so we've come to the end of our On Location Report, Chloe Rose's first ever NEHS Autumn Flower Show. Indeed, Chloe's first ever flower show. And the question now that we're actually back in our mode of transport, ready to actually journey onto Cleethorpes, Teesside and beyond, of course, is, Chloe, what have been your most memorable moments of the last few hours that we've spent here? And have you enjoyed the day?
Oh, it's been a fantastic day. I mean, there's so much to see as well here. You definitely can't do it in just one day, so I definitely recommend coming over for a few days, maybe stay over, make a weekend of it. But I've really enjoyed just meeting people, basically, that are doing projects that are helping the environment, such as the Lawn Heroes. I mean, that was a really important one for me, and that really struck out to me about the fact of, you know, encouraging people to use the products because it would encourage bees. And that's a problem that we do have in the UK, well, around the world really, not just in the UK, you know, and something we need to look at. And also I enjoyed looking at the little gardens that were created, especially the World War One, the themed one, and the Down the Bog. That was a very fun a very funny...
As we said, flushed with success, but what the heck?
Yes, it was. That was a very, very good project that was created as well.
Chloe, it's been awesome spending some time with your good self. Such a shame you can't be around tomorrow. We should have really booked you for the 2 days, but, you know, we'll just have to cope and next time around. Clearly, you... I mean, the big question is, will you be joining us on more location reports for both Southside, Siren, and, of course, Sound and Chloe's Vision in the near future?
Absolutely. But the question is, Alex, could you put up with it? No, I'm joking. No,
it's been fabulous. From Chloe Rose and Alex Levchuk, we say happy trails, happy floral times, and just keep on keeping on.
Yep, keep on going.